You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, a radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I am Pastor Ron Barnes, minister of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. We are at 4020 Balsam Road. I cordially invite you to visit our services. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning service at 11 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. Our first hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Now the heavy and the crowns of music on His throne.
The title of today's message is Finding True Happiness in Jesus Christ, taken from Psalm 4, verse 6. Moments of happiness are special for everyone. The day you were married, the day you had your first child. These are happy memories. But what about lasting happiness? Is there such a thing as lasting happiness? In Psalm 4, verse 6, the question is asked by many, who will show us any good? Or put another way, who will show us any happiness? True happiness is found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. As you listen to the message, I pray the Lord will speak to your heart from His Word. But before the message, another hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus.
Hark! 'Tis the voice of angels, for
I'd like you to notice the words in verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Notice the question, who will show us any good? The question could be phrased this way, who will show us what true happiness is? Listen to a woman's thoughts regarding this all-important question. I can honestly say that in all my life, I've never known what true happiness is. I've had moments of pure joy, and that was only when I gave birth to my children. They are a gift from God. But other than having them, I have never held true happiness in my hands. I wonder what it would be like to have that. I have a husband that loves me, but I don't share those feelings. It's not his fault. It's all on me. My children give me moments of joy, but what I want is to know what it's like to be completely happy. I've tried, and I always fall short of it. It's as if I'm not meant for it. I guess some people are just luckier than others. It is what it is. We do what we do. What's done is done. It's all good. Sadly, this woman speaks for many people today. Most people have never experienced true and lasting happiness in their life. David here in Psalm 4 shows us what true happiness really looks like. And it is quite different from the way the world portrays happiness. True happiness lasts because it is from the Lord. We read in verse 7, Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Satisfying enjoyment can be found only in doing the will of God and in His love. Most people want a happy life. No one honestly says they enjoy being unhappy. But what is true happiness? People look for happiness in worldly pleasures. They look for it in material possessions. They look for it in work, activities, sports, hobbies. They look for it from friends, relatives, family, like that woman that we read about. Although these things may bring moments of happiness, they can't bring lasting joy and peace in the soul. We need, as God's people, to show the world that true happiness lies in a relationship with Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And there are multitudes who say, like the psalmist here in verse 6 of Psalm 4, who will show us any good? Man wants good. He hates evil as evil because he has pain, suffering, and death through it. And he wishes to find that supreme good which will content his heart and save him from evil. But men mistake this good. They look for a good that is to gratify their lusts and passions. They have no understanding of any happiness that does not come to them through the medium of their senses. Therefore, the natural man rejects spiritual good and they reject the supreme God. The multitude in the world seek worldly wealth. But David sets his happiness in God's favor. The title of my message this morning is simply Finding True Happiness in Jesus Christ. And there are three things that show us how we find true happiness in Christ. First, true happiness rests in the light of Christ's countenance. There be many that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Light of thy countenance upon us is a figure for favor. What the psalmist is saying is that, Lord, in order for me to truly know what happiness is, I must have your favor. We read in Numbers chapter 6, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Notice those words in verse 25. Lord, shine upon thee, alluding to the shining of the sun upon the earth, to enlighten and warm and renew the face of it. The Lord loves His people and makes them know that He loves them. We cannot but be happy if we have God's love, and we cannot but be easy if we know that we have it. And this is what is repeated over and over again in the Scripture, that in order for us to be happy, we must have the light of God's countenance. We must have His favor resting upon us. How can we as God's people know that we have the favor of God? We have violated God's law. How can we have the favor of God today? It's only through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have the favor of God. It's only through Christ that we can approach a holy God today and worship Him. It's only as God sees us coming through Christ that He shows forth His favor to us. Albert Barnes writes in his commentary, light is that which we see objects distinctly. The light of the sun enables us to discern the form, the distance, the magnitude, and the relation of objects, and prevents the perplexities and dangers which result from a state of darkness. Light is in all languages, therefore, put for knowledge, for whatever enables us to discern our duty, and that saves us from the evils of ignorance and error. The Messiah was predicted as the light of the world in Isaiah 9, verse 22. And the meaning is that the Logos, or Word of God, is the instructor or teacher of mankind. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning, are you living in darkness of your sin? The sin makes us unhappy. Sin deceives us. Sin says to us and entices us to partake in it, but yet the consequences that we have to face because of our sin makes us miserable, makes us unhappy. See, man by his nature wants to sin, but man doesn't want the consequences of sin. And we today hear, as we look at Psalm 4, verse 6, that question, who shall show us any good? Who shall show us true happiness? True happiness does not reside in the world. True happiness does not reside in sin. It only resides in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have Christ as our Savior, if we're trusting in Him and believing in Him, then we have the favor of God. Do you have the favor of God today? Does God's countenance rest upon you? Do you have that light? Is Jesus Christ the light of your life? The second thing that we learn from Psalm 4 is true happiness consists in a clear conscience before God. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now, most commentators are of the opinion that Psalm 4 was written by David as an evening psalm. It is a sweet evening hymn. David shall not sit up to watch through fear, but he will lie down. And then he will not lie awake listening to every rustling sound, but he will lie down in peace and sleep, for he has nothing to fear. He that has the wings of God above him needs no other curtain. Better than bolts or bars is the protection of the Lord. A quiet conscience is a good bedfellow. How many of our sleepless hours might be traced to our untrusting and disordered minds? They slumber sweetly whom faith rocks to sleep. No pillow so soft as a promise from God. No blanket so warm as an assured interest in Christ. Now the fact is, most men lay down and most sleep daily, for without sleep and rest could not be, man cannot live, cannot be preserved. But how few lie down in peace? Peace with their own consciences. Peace with God. David had then two great blessings here in Psalm 4. He had rest by sleep, but he also had peace in his soul. He had a happy soul. And when he lay down on his bed, his body soon enjoyed its repose as the conscience was in peace. And he had a third blessing, a confidence that he should sleep safely because the Lord would protect him. And it was so. No fearful dreams disturbed his repose, for he had a mind tranquilized by the peace of God. As to his body that enjoyed its due rest, are not many who experience sleepless hours to be attributed to the disordered soul, to a sense of guilt on their conscience, or a sense of unbelief, or to even a fear of death and hell? Some people are so tormented by the thought of death that they can't even sleep, they can't rest, there's no peace in their souls. And a guilty conscience has the wrong focus. Having a guilty conscience places our eyes on ourselves, and it causes us to have adverse attitudes. A man who suffers from guilt wrote this, I can attest to what it is like to have a guilty conscience and the disharmony and lack of joy guilt has brought into my life. When I suffer with the guilty conscience, I feel bad about everything and everyone is bad. I dwell on the guilt instead of following the instructions of Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. A guilty conscience revolves around fear and anxiety. Instead, we can come before God, our Heavenly Father, and cry out to Him and obtain mercy and grace from Christ. We read in 1 John 4, verses 17 and 19, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." Notice the words of the Apostle John. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." And what's the writer talking about? He's talking about guilt that we harbor and we think about, and how guilt pulls us down, how guilt gives us a guilty conscience before God, so much so that it affects our sleep. It affects everything about us. We tend to become very negative and judgmental and pessimistic. Those who are happy, those who truly know what true happiness is, they have a pure conscience, a conscience that is at peace with God because of the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 10, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him out a liar, and His word is not in us." So what do we do with a guilty conscience? What do we do when guilt seems to get the best of us and it seems to drag us down? We need to confess it. We need to ask the Lord to wash us in the precious blood of Christ. If we spend too much time introspecting ourselves, if we spend too much time thinking about thoughts that don't lead us to Christ, but strange thoughts, dark thoughts, thoughts that will just pull us down, that's going to cause anxiety, that's going to cause guilt, that's going to cause a conscience that will have no rest before God and before people. David was able to go to sleep at night at peace with God. And that's a mark of a person who knows what true happiness is. How many people today go to bed with a guilty conscience? How many people today living with guilt, and it's so extreme, it's so severe that they have to escape somehow. Some commit suicide. Some go into serious addictions because of the guilt. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners from their guilt, to give men good consciences before God and man. He went to the cross to die for those who were guilty of sin. And therefore, today, if you're here and you still are under the weight of guilt of your sin, you still have a life that lives outside of Christ, I urge you to come to Christ and trust in Him. And Christ will give you that peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you that joy, that lasting happiness that you lack today. Nothing else will satisfy your soul except Christ. So we see, secondly, that true happiness consists in a clear conscience before God. True happiness possesses a perfect righteousness that is acceptable before God. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And then verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Jesus Christ is referred to in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, as Jesus Christ the righteous. Virgin writes, this is not only His character, but also His plea. It is His character. And if the righteous one be my advocate, then my cause is good, or he would not have espoused it. It is His plea, for He meets the charge of unrighteousness against me by the plea that He is righteous. He declares Himself my substitute and puts His obedience to my account. We all need righteousness, my friend, to be accepted before God. To be truly happy, we have to be righteous. And how do we become righteous? We're sinners. The only way that we can truly experience that true happiness and that perfect righteousness is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ is there a righteousness for the sinner that is acceptable before God. Christ is the righteous. He who suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Christ Jesus is the single defense for the believer who sins and brings the repentant believer back to fellowship with God the Father. The sole basis of Christ's advocacy is His work He accomplished on the cross, namely His shed blood and death. If you're here and you're unsaved, or if you're here and you're backslidden and you need to be forgiven of your sin, you need to go to Christ and He will make you righteous. We read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We do not and cannot attain a right relationship with God in our own righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are guilty sinners in need of a perfect righteousness. That makes us unhappy when we realize that we are dirty, rotten sinners. But what will make us happy, what will give us joy, what will give us peace, is to obtain that perfect righteousness that Christ offers in the gospel. So what do we need to do? We need to repent of our sin. We need to trust in Christ. That's the righteousness that will give us true happiness. People can't be truly happy if they're trying to work their way to heaven. I remember when I was in the Roman Catholic Church, that was my mentality in the Roman Catholic Church, is I just keep working my way to heaven. And the more I worked, the more miserable I was, the more unhappy I was. Because I realized that the more I worked, the more God expected from me. And not only that, but I realized that my works weren't good enough. How much is enough? But when I came to rest in Christ as my Savior, He imputed to me His righteousness. And He took upon Himself my sins. And that's the great transaction in the gospel. And that makes the child of God rejoice in the Lord. Because now I have a righteousness before God that is acceptable before Him. I am as righteous now as I ever will be. I can never add to that righteousness, and that righteousness can never be taken away from me, because that righteousness is in Christ. And when Christ said on the cross that it is finished, He said that my righteousness now is going to be imputed to those who believe in me, and that shall make them rejoice in my salvation. Isn't it the expression of the true child of God to rejoice in the Lord for the righteousness that we have? We don't rejoice in our works. We don't rejoice in our righteousness, because they're as filthy rags. But we rejoice in the righteousness of the Son of God, which has been reckoned to my account. And now, therefore, God sees me as being righteous in Christ. Are you righteous in Christ, or are you righteous in yourself? See, when we are united to Christ, we have a righteous and holy standing before God. We are in Christ. We enjoy a right relationship with God because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Christ is the basis of our perfect acceptance with God. And this is what David is talking about here in Psalm 4 when he uses the word righteousness. So when the world asks the question, who will show us any good? Who will show us what true happiness is? Only the Christian can show the world what true happiness is, because we have it. We possess it. It's the righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel message. And we need to declare that. That must be our message to a sin-cursed world. It's the church. It's God's people. They're the ones who will show the world what true happiness is. In our message, in our life, in the way we practice and conduct our lives. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." See, believers are robed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is the basis of our acceptance with God. It is the act of grace whereby God removes the condemnation pronounced on the sinner and places Himself relative to Himself as a believer in the position of a righteous man. The possibility of such a divine act is due to the death and resurrection of Christ. His death is the foundation of everything God does for the sinner. That's why we preach Christ crucified here in the church. That's why that message has to go forth as the main message from this pulpit. It's because that is the message that God uses to save sinners, to make them righteous. And you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I can tell you from the scripture that you're not a happy person. Because you don't have Christ as your Savior. You don't have Christ as your Lord. And until you come to embrace Christ and believe in Him, you never will be happy. And you try this and you try that, and you just go through this cycle over and over again. We can only plead guilty of sin because we are guilty as sinners. God treated Jesus Christ as if He were the guilty sinner and deals with the believing sinner as though he or she were righteous if we believe in Christ. Christ did not deserve the curse and penalty of our sin. We did. Christ lived a perfect life. Christ never sinned. Why did Christ have to go to the cross? Because we're sinners. As I say often from this pulpit, Christ didn't come to die for good people. The imputed righteousness of Christ to the sinner is a demonstration of the wisdom and power of God. It is a display of His justice, His mercy, His grace, His love and power as would never enter into the mind of man. This is the gospel that we preach and proclaim. Man cannot satisfy the judge unless he's righteous. And there is no denying of the fact that no man is righteous before God. No man can produce the righteousness God requires. It has to be given to him if the sinner gets it. And under these circumstances, his faith is counted to him as righteousness because we believe. We believe in Christ. Christ Himself becomes the righteousness we need. God, the righteous judge, views us not as we are in our sinfulness, but now He sees us in Christ. In closing, we have answered the question in Psalm 4, who will show us any good? David shows us that true good or happiness is found only in Jesus Christ. True happiness rests in the light of Christ's countenance. It consists in a clear conscience. And it possesses a perfect righteousness that is acceptable before God. Have you found true and lasting happiness in your life? Come to Christ, and He will give you that righteousness that will make your heart rejoice in Him for His wonderful salvation.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. I am Ron Barnes, pastor of the Heritage Free Presbyterian Church, located in the Hart Highlands area of Prince George. I warmly invite you to visit the church. We have Sunday school for children, young people, and adults beginning at 10 a.m. Our morning service begins at 11 a.m. and our evening service at 6:30 p.m. The church address is 4020 Folsom Road, Prince George, British Columbia, V2K1Z9. Our phone number is 250-962-8232. You can listen to other messages preached by Pastor Barnes on www.sermonaudio.com. Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak. May the Lord richly bless you.